The following episode most likely contains graphic language, details of violence, and murder, and may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 54 of Murder with My Mother, the true crime podcast, where I talk murder with my mother.
Your mother that has her glasses today.
Oh, yes. Good. It's like always, like, hey, mom, you got your purse. You got your...
Oh, I could be missing something else. I have my ringer turned off and I have my glasses, so...
Good. Perfect. That's all we need.
Yeah.
That's all we need. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode. It's my new voice. I'm going to switch it up now.
Excellent.
After 53 episodes, I'm like, you know what? Switch this bitch
now
up.
Now you can get some class.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good fucking luck with that.
Yeah, well. How are all of you? I wish I could hear you when you answer me, but... I can't, so.
I'm pretty stoked that the weather is nice now, and we're just on the eve of a magical summer.
Oh, my God. We're both like, did we do some, like, kind of hippie zen?
Did you spike some ecstasy in our
nothing water. And just the air?
Well, I guess we're just both happy in life.
Yeah. Well, I'm soaking up every minute.
Excellent. Me too.
Especially because I could be murdered at any second.
Why?
I don't know. I just, you know, that's the morbid truth. I don't know.
I mean, I guess it is true.
Maybe not even murdered, like car accident.
Well, we never know. Yeah. We do never know for sure.
You never know. Living every day to its fucking fullest.
Yeah. Speaking of that, there was a woman in Lumbee, British Columbia.
Oh, mom's in charge of the episode today, yeah. So we're just jumping right into the current events.
There's a woman in Lumbee, which is an area in the Okanagan in our province of British Columbia, named Tatiana, who was witnessed to be kidnapped by her ex-husband while walking. And her current boyfriend, her children, had been all over social media posting pictures. They knew she had been kidnapped. They knew the car. They knew all of this information. Obviously, they're completely hysterical.
Yeah.
And they found her and she was deceased. So that's terrible enough. But then
They don't have enough evidence.
No, they did take him into custody. They found the car. They took him into custody and then they released him.
Mm. I'm so super surprised. I almost fainted right there. That's the thing is this is like, it's like waking up and it's like Groundhog Day. It's like every time somebody is murdered clearly by their husband, domestic partner, ex-husband, it's like, okay, sorry, we're going to just let you go till we have more evidence. But it's like someone witnessed her being abducted by
him. Also, I mean, they know who the guy is and all of that. And like they found her deceased after he was witnessed being taken or he was witnessed taking her. And the worst part is...
How clear cut can it get?
Like, well, and the worst part is when they arrested him... I mean, I don't know the history, but I'm pretty sure he was, like, constantly harassing, not happy that they weren't together anymore. But when they arrested him, he was outside of her house where her kids were. So, that's fucked up, Lumbee.
Well, I hope that they really find more evidence against him so that they can... move forward with charges.
Or do they need like a movie of him doing it? Like, I don't know.
They already have eyewitnesses of her being abducted by
him. Exactly.
So, but again, you look at all the other cases we've covered in the last little while of domestic partner violence and previous domestic partner violence or whatever. But it's like, if it's just the way of the Canadian justice system, which I'm sure
that's
you guys
why
are not
I
sick of
what am you're dating about. An American.
Yes. Mom is dating an American. You've turned a new leaf.
Yeah,
so.
A new American leaf. I'm an American leaf.
I'm
an American.
You're bringing the Canadian spin to it. Perfect.
Yeah, so other than that, I know we had a bunch of stabbings in Australia recently.
Yeah, we don't know much about that, but Dan just filled us in. So he's up with the current events. We're going to get him a chair to come sit. There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect. So I can read all about it. Yeah. I don't have much for current events. There's some stuff I wanted to touch on, but again, this episode we had to release a little bit later, just again, life. And then next month will be even later because mom and my son are taking off to Japan. So she's practicing already. Like, yeah. So that's super exciting. I'm a little bit nervous, but.
Well, I wanted to take him last year with me to Costa Rica, but.
I was also a little bit nervous.
I was not allowed to because Danica did not trust that I would come back alive. So I just
let you go on your own.
I proved myself. And now I asked him, I actually asked him, without Danica's permission, where the place in the world that he would like to go to the most is. Because I believe that instilling travel morals or travel desires into the world.
And it's cool to see like other, the country staying in Canada. No, it's cool to see other countries and other people's, the way people live and the way the cultures of the world.
Yeah, to appreciate everybody's diversities is so important. And he actually chose Tokyo. He chose Japan. Yeah. And I was like, sure, we can do it. And then I told Danica after.
He's obsessed with Shiba Inus, and I think that's the whole, like, the trajectory was, like, Shiba Inu. Yeah. And then, like, manga. I know, I'm pretty sure I called it manga before, and he's like,
yeah, he's
manga.
Already laughed at me so many times about everything.
So I'm old now, so.
But we're doing the research, and there's some fucking crazy stuff there. Like, you can fish at a restaurant and catch a fish, and they'll make it for you.
Yeah.
It's like, foot massage restaurants.
There's a lot of cafes is what I'm picking up. Like, you guys are going to go to the Shiba Inu Cafe, number one. The capybara.
Yeah, and I think that's just like, I don't even know if that's cruel or not, but they have all these big rodents where
you
can
kick them or anything.
Yeah, they look happy in the TikTok videos.
Yes, a lot of TikTok videos.
But I mean, they have some outlandish things. Like, they have a penguin cafe, and they have
they have a lot of cafes. Yeah. Like, it's like a lot of themed cafes. So.
And just a lot of really cool food.
Mm-hmm. Jealous.
And just a lot of stuff to see, like the 3D billboards even, and everything's so futuristic. And and the history is so rich, you know, and the history is so interesting, and there's so many stories. And we're staying in Asakusa, which I couldn't say at first either, which is the area where there's all the traditional temples and stuff like that, mixed with the street markets and the other cool stuff.
Yeah, it will be a good time.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you guys. Again, nervous, but that's okay.
Yeah,
that will subside.
He turns 12 2 days before we go, so super stoked.
Wearing deodorant like a math.
Yeah. Should be good when we have our...
Yeah, get some comfy shoes for all your steps you guys got to do.
Yeah.
We're good.
So we're going to be, releasing a little bit later next month also. Yeah. So please bear with us.
Bear with us. Be patient. You guys are always patient. Fun. You guys are great. Yeah. So
if you're not, we just don't read the messages.
Yeah, we just ignore it. I just swipe. But speaking of 12-year-olds, because I think that's a good segue. So I'm going to have a 12-year-old, which again, I don't know if like something is going on with the moon, my hormones, who knows. But I'm nervous about a lot of things. But this episode, when we were doing research for this episode, mom chose this episode, but it is one that we have wanted to do from the minute we started this podcast. So this episode is about a 12-year-old girl who, with the help of her 300-year-old werewolf boyfriend, murders her parents and her little brother. Worst fear of my life.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a 12-year-old, I mean, I was a fucking asshole when I was 12. I wasn't too bad at 12. I was just starting out at 12. But
2 years later, you lived with my dad.
At 14, I lived with my 20-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I was like, there are a lot of things that I can relate to with this girl.
Yeah.
But I never took it that far, obviously.
Yeah. Good thing.
Yeah.
But I also, and as you guys know, because we've discussed it on, comes up on a lot of episodes, but adolescence and just finding your way and rebelling and, you know, all of that, like we can really, I mean, you can definitely attest to it for me because I was just chilling in your ovary at that time. But
I mean, we come from a long line of wild women for sure.
Yeah.
I know that might be hard to
believe. We were burned as witches, actually. Everyone.
Yeah, we were apparently burned as witches.
In our bloodline.
Who fucking knows? Someone just probably made an excuse to justify why we were so...
I have 19,000 relatives on 23andMe.
Oh.
Weird. But I do. Anyway, I do. I have so many. Not any ones that I want to.
All from your dad?
Probably. They're probably all my siblings. Sorry, Dad.
Yeah, so I think like this is definitely something that we totally can
relate to for sure.
No, I mean, there is a lot of it.
And then there's a lot not because like there's no, you know, the whole murder thing.
Yeah. But, well, but. I mean, I was pretty evil to my dad had some wives and I was pretty evil to a couple of them.
But sure. I heard they weren't even that nice. So.
No, they weren't.
No, but
that's my justification.
At least you didn't murder them. So with that, let's hop right into the episode. Mom, it's all you.
So today we're going to talk about the case of the Richardson family murders. Let's set the stage a little bit. On April 23rd, 2006, a young boy named Garrett was excited to go play with his neighbor, an 8-year-old friend, Jacob Richardson. He saw that his friend's dad's truck was in the driveway, so he went over to play. All of a sudden, he came running back and said, "Mommy, there are bodies at Jacob's house with blood all over them," and wanted his mom to come over and help him because of what he'd seen through the window.
And if my kid came up to me like, "What?" I mean, I'd be like, sprinting over there. But I mean, do you really think like, yeah, okay, Garrett, of course, you know, as an 8-year-old, like wild imaginations, like, and then.
Like, Jesus Christ, Garrett, and then it's true. So Garrett's mom went to check it out and saw Jacob's dad in his black underwear, basically, laying on the floor, covered in blood through the basement window. And then she looked over and saw Jacob's mom, Deborah, also on the floor, covered in blood, and they looked like they were dead. So Garrett's mom called the police.
And obviously. So when the police came, they obviously were like, oh my God, they went in and they discovered that not only were the mom and the dad dead, but the little brother, or Jacob, the friend of Garrett, was also dead in his bed. But they looked around and they could see family photos, and by all the neighbors, you know, they were like, they also have a 12-year-old daughter, Jasmine. And Jasmine was nowhere to be found. So and at that time,
they were thinking like, Jasmine must be kidnapped. Someone broke
in. Or murdered,
yeah. Murdered, killed everybody. They must have done it to take this girl. They had no idea. And this is in Canada, you guys. Yes. This is in Medicine Hat, Alberta.
Yes.
Which is in Alberta, Canada.
Far enough away from us, but it's not.
But yeah, I mean, it's not like some crazy thing that happened in Florida or somewhere where, you know,
and crazy this was like a super small, it's a super, like, it's not so small, but it's like a, you know, people, neighbors are friendly. No one locks their doors. It's like, hey, and then that's something that happens. And now the little girl's missing and she's 12. So you think, obviously, she probably was the motive for the murders in the first place.
Yeah, and this was like back in the days before we had the alerts, you know, not very many people even had cell phones, really.
Yeah. So the Richardson family was, by all accounts, a very normal and happy family. The parents had met, and although they had struggled with substance abuse in the past, they were completely fine and normal, sober people at this time. So there's different... this happens.
Yeah,
in our research, there's different accounts. Some people said that they met at the gym. Some people said that they met at rehab, which anyone, I mean, they met.
Maybe it was the gym at rehab.
Maybe.
But,
maybe.
I mean, it goes to, like, to all the accounts say that by the time they had their kids and they got married and everything, they were both sober.
Sometimes
living.
You go through shit and then you have to find yourself. No, never. me neither. But yeah, at the time they had their children, they had settled, they were sober, they were like a normal family next door with a little
like
boy
even more
and a little
normal
girl.
Than usual.
Yeah. So
The father, Mark, was 42 and the mother was 48 and they had two children, 12-year-old Jasmine and 8-year-old Jacob. They met in 1990 and they were soon married in Toronto, and eventually they moved out to Medicine Hat about 15 years later. By all accounts, Mark was a family man that had a career in engineering, and Deborah was a spiritual and gregarious woman ahead of her time spiritually. Like, she was doing Reiki already, and Back in those days, a lot of people were not. So,
no. She was into Wicca.
She was into Wicca.
Which I know back then was more popular because I remember my cousin, Janelle, she was like super into Wicca and like she had this Wicca book. And so that was kind of more about Reiki, spiritual healing. Yeah. I think she had her basement was like converted into like a healing room. Like yeah. there was
she
one.
She was very progressive for the times for sure.
They're both described as like the nicest people you could ever meet.
Yeah.
Great parents. And even some things we touch on this episode, it's like, wow, like that's the great, a good way to go about it. And, you know, especially dealing with like shithead kids, like, you know, you can be like, you're grounded, you're this. That's not what you see here. You see like they are very progressive. They're very like trying to be understanding. And, you know, we've all been kids. So we all know kind of the growing pains of going through early adolescence and being like a tween or what, because she wasn't even 13, she was 12 and a half.
Well, and I think things started to change for her when she was around 11. Like, mm-hmm. I think she went into her puberty really yeah. young.
Which we can both.
Yeah. And they say that the earlier a woman goes into puberty, the crazier they are. Like, you don't have the mental faculties to deal with it at the time. No, and you have these hormones coursing through your body that make you fucking nuts.
Yeah. And when you have a full bush at 9, then
yeah,
I don't know who that was. Was it me? Was it you? Was it Jasmine?
Was it both of us?
Yeah, probably. Thanks all for three the of genetics. So even at a young age, Jasmine looked much older than she was. When you see pictures of her, she looks like, again, she was 12.
Yeah.
She looks.
She's tall. She's beautiful.
Yes. And she wore a lot of eyeliner. There's a lot of eyeliner. So but I can attest to that because I fucking circled my waterline like a motherfucker. Like, you couldn't even see my eyes. They were so like.
Well, I used to wear a shit ton of eyeliner also.
Yeah. So there you go. And so at this point in time, the internet was just starting to become like more mainstream. Like, we've talked about me sprinting home. I'm sprinting a lot in this episode. Sprinting home to talk to all my friends on MSN.
That you just talked to at school mostly.
No, it was different friends. Come on, Mom. But we'd also talk on the phone and be on the internet at the same time, downloading every kind of virus I could to LimeWire. And
but also the internet was
signing
so
in,
weird,
signing out, signing
right?
In, signing out.
The internet was so weird. Like,
it was.
Especially like when I was growing up, we had like the first microwave and then it went to this thing that came into your house. It was like, what the fuck is my kid even doing up there?
Yeah.
Remember when Alex said, our computer's broken. My mom said there's corn on it.
There's too much corn stuck in our computer. Oh my God, that was the best. Really, it was because every mixtape I was downloading off LimeWire had a virus. So there was a lot of porn, but also your brother came to stay with us for a while. So you probably literally put.
But I mean, that's the thing. Like, the internet opened up so many people's lives. And I remember.
The chat rooms and.
I remember when it first dawned on me that I should be monitoring your.
Sure,
online activity
that.
And then I set everything to record what you were doing, and I really wish that I had not done that.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that you had to read any of that stuff. So anyway, Jasmine's family and her school, and she actually went to a religious school. So she went to, I'm pretty sure it was either Christian or Catholic. Yeah. It was some kind of school where there was religion, and she's showing up with her skirts got shorter, her boobs, her cleavage probably got more. She's wearing chokers. She was developing. So she was really.
Well, and she was also getting into like some weird, crazy stuff. Like, she was getting into the goth.
Yes.
Because that was also really big, you know, the goth lifestyle, the goth, like kids felt cool to be goth. And so she was wearing like the spike collars and the fishnets.
Well, and I think when you can't fit in with like the typical kids around you and the crowd, like, you search for people who are like you or who want to be, you know, who are different, who are pushing the limits or whatever. And I don't know if anybody remembers, but the mall used to be like the place to be, like.
Well, I didn't grow up where there was a mall.
So. Oh, yeah. You grew up with one stoplight.
No stoplight.
No stoplight. Yeah. All right. Well, even smaller than I figured. But yeah, so when you would go online, when you would go all these places, it was like kind of like a, you know, meeting ground to meet people. And then when you find out these people live actually around you and you can go hang out with them at the mall.
Yeah.
It was the best. So she found her like kind of core goth circle. And they all hung out at the mall. And they were way older than her.
Yeah, she was hanging out with a bunch of 20-something-year-olds.
And
but she was probably lying about her age. Like,
for
they,
sure.
they, I mean, I was also.
So was I. I remember my boyfriend came to my 14th birthday and thought I was 16. And then everyone's like, happy birthday. And he was like, what the fuck? You're yeah. And I was like, ah. Yeah. But I lied about my age every minute.
I did every minute also.
Yeah. My dad got arrested because you lied about your age, which you probably should have stayed in jail. And then this whole thing could have been a lot easier.
I would have murder with my mother. So
you'd just be by yourself having a murder podcast. So at this point in time, like I said, the internet was just starting and her family was noticing big changes in her physically and big changes of her, like, kind of always wanting to be on the internet. And she had sites like, this is great for me, Nexopia.
Yeah.
I was huge on Nexopia.
Yeah, Nexopia was your jam for sure.
Star, star, TNA, star, star. It's probably still on there. So anybody can go look.
And hers was something like, I can't even remember, but it was like star underscore wild thing or something.
It was something crazy. But I mean, we always talk about this, like your first email, like,
yeah,
the best was Monica's brother made hers and it was like star lit 420 because he's like a huge pothead and we were like 10 years old, like
star lit 420.
Yeah. So but yeah, so she joined, like I said, Nexopia, which you actually had to be, I think, 16 to be on Nexopia, because when I first started it, it was like you rated people from like 1 to 10 and like you had like your pictures on there and they were super grainy webcam pictures. And yeah, it was just, this whole thing has been like, oh my God, star, star, TNA, star, star. But yeah, she also joined a bunch of other online communities and she had a friend who had introduced her to kind of like another, like the gothic group, and they were all older guys. And she had a boyfriend, like a young boyfriend, but he wasn't young. He was 16, yeah, but younger than the boyfriend we're about to talk about. But her parents got super, like they caught on that she had this older boyfriend, and they actually went for lunch and made him have a sit down with the mom. And the mom was pretty much like, you know, what are your intentions with my daughter? And
who's 11 or 12.
Yes. And he's 16. Yeah. And then I guess after that, Jasmine kind of was like, hey, if I'm going to have another boyfriend, I'm not going to tell my parents about it.
Yeah, no one can know about it.
Yeah. So she ended up meeting a guy through her friend who always ran away. And then it was kind
her
of like
her friend Kaylee.
Yes,
who
Kaylee
was
who
was really
the runaway. Well, I mean, was she, you know. But it was that, I guess they had met up and he had a car because he was 23 years old. His name was Jeremy. His last name is, and I feel like because he was bullied for his last name, it's Stank. I think, but
I think it was Stanky.
That's what I mean. But he was whipping donuts. How do you even say that? Doing donuts? Yeah. With a bunch of 12-year-old girls in his car. Like, how cool are you? Because no 23-year-old girl is going to be like, oh my God, let's go rip donuts in the parking lot. So after she met him briefly, she also signed up for a site called vampirefreaks.com.
And I'll tell you right now that even just writing it throughout this, these notes, it is still.
Mom loves vampires, by the way.
It's
She's probably
still
gonna join.
On there. Because every time I go to read my notes, I'll hit vampirefreaks.com by accident and it will come up.
Yes. And she also started to listen to like really punk music, heavy metal. She wore like spike necklaces and fishnets and kind of all the typical stuff you would see somebody who's rebelling, like wear.
Yeah, and her bio, like one of the lines in her bio, I think on MSN said, I like kinky shit.
Yeah, which
she
you're
is
12.
12.
But it also said that one of her heroes was Batman.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer. Mm-hmm. Marilyn Manson. There was like quite an array.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, you could tell she was definitely reaching
12.
To be cool.
She was definitely 12.
Yeah, she was 12.
She put like, sometimes I watch Teen Titans because I'm that cool. But it's like, you're 12. So, but yeah. So she was starting to hang out with those kids, and obviously because now she's going to be around Jeremy Stinky for more time, they kind of, because we haven't touched on Jeremy yet, but he was,
I mean, he came from a much different background than Jasmine did. Like, as much as Jasmine came from a background of, you know, a loving, well-rounded family that really cared about her and cared what she thought and cared what she did and wanted the best for her, Jeremy came from an opposite family. He came from an alcoholic mother who had been through several husbands, several boyfriends, and all of the husbands and boyfriends, to all accounts, had been abusive to Jeremy. Yeah. It was thought that Jeremy most likely has fetal alcohol syndrome. He possessed a lot of the traits, such as ADD, impulse control issues, emotional immaturity. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of traits that he possessed, and his mom was an alcoholic, so the chances are pretty good. Yeah.
She never has admitted that she drank while she was pregnant with Jeremy, but she said she did, like, Demerol or some other, she had some kind of ovarian cyst or something like that, or something going on while she was pregnant.
Yeah.
But if she, I mean, again, I don't know, and this isn't admitted by her, but if he's showing all the traits of FASD.
And now you can be tested, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think also the fact that she was allowing her domestic partners to abuse him really does speak volumes about,
yeah,
you know, what she was capable of as a mother. So.
Well, even once when she was getting beat by one of her boyfriends, yeah, he jumped in to try to help her. And the guy, like, I mean, and he's like a little boy, yeah, right? Like, so, I mean, we don't have sympathy because, but again, this is where,
well, this that's bruise, the thing is people, right, are made, right?
Well, and also, if you look at Jasmine's perspective, like, again, I can kind of go back, and you were the worst person because, yeah, you wouldn't let me do the bad shit that I wanted to do. You were stopping me from doing it. You're reading my MSN conversations. You were one step ahead of me. One time I went with my girlfriend, Karen, and we were, like, sneaking out to go back to this party, and I, like, get in the cab, and it's like, I all of a sudden look behind, and you're, like, on the phone in the door, like, get your ass back here. And I was like, fuck, like, sorry, Karen, we're busted. But, you know, it's like, you didn't let me do the bad shit I wanted to do. So in my mind, you were the worst person because, I mean, it lasted,
yeah,
5 minutes,
that made you hate me, honestly. Like,
I didn't hate you, but it's like,
no, but at that point, like, I'll tell you guys.
Why do you want to fucking, yeah, why stop me from having all this fun?
One time I went somewhere and I phoned
my sexually explicit MSN conversations. Yeah.
I went home I called home to talk to Danica, and the police answered the phone because Danica had 200 people in our townhouse
who threw all of the furniture off the balcony, which I don't know why people do that, and stole my brother's GameCube, and that's why I got busted.
And
oh, that was the second party, actually.
When I got there, Danica's in the police car glaring at me like I fucking did something wrong. So we can see where these people are coming from, especially, yeah, Jasmine. She was not happy that her parents were getting more and more strict.
I haven't been so blessed yet because my daughter is quite young, which I'm sure will make the loop. But you have the hindsight of, like, of being a child and being a rebellious teenager and being a mother to a rebellious daughter teenager. So you really can see both sides of this. Like I said, Kiers is very, like, calm, cool,
yeah,
collected.
Yeah, you'll usually get one good child.
Yeah.
So Jeremy had dropped out in the 10th grade, and he lived on and off with friends until he could no longer make it on his own. He couldn't keep a job, etc. And he moved back in with his mom in her trailer.
If you look at photos of him, it's like the typical kid who couldn't fit in, who tries, like, every style.
Yeah.
Like, you could,
yeah,
see.
Yeah, he did have a lot of transitioning,
yeah,
phases.
Yeah, he looked,
sure,
like one. He looked like early 2000s Boy Justin band. Timberlake. Yeah. And then he looked like he had, like, a backwards, like, a hat on. Like, he was, like, more gangster. And then, like, the last pictures, it's like, but more eyeliner than I would wear. Even more eyeliner. Yeah. Like, dark eyeliner. I'm pretty sure he was wearing a choker, and, like, he would wear fishnets, yeah, and stuff. And it was like, you really see when somebody's striving to belong, like, they will literally, it's chameleon, right? They'll literally take, like, their full identity and, like, strip it and, like, put a new one. But
it's
that
really
comes from insecurity.
That to me is, like, such a
and
big
fetal alcohol syndrome, probably.
Yeah, I mean, and that's such a big red flag. Mm-hmm. I dated a guy like that once. Like, he
Same.
Was a cowboy, and then I was, like, looking back at photos, and it was just like that. It was like, he was a bodybuilder, he was a cowboy, he
oh
was
God,
a fucking
Same.
Whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's just like, oh my God, you've only been a cowboy for 2 years? Like, you're really selling it. I
oh
thought you'd
God,
been
thought
a,
you were cowboy a
cowboy
for
the
life.
Whole time.
I thought you were born and raised a cowboy.
And
but
just
no.
like,
that's,
yeah.
It is a red flag because totally. It's like, hey, whoa, like, you know, people pleasy, like, trying to fit in, trying to do all these things. Plus, obviously, sprinkle in some trauma. And yeah. this guy had a lot of it, but as we've discussed previously, trauma is not an excuse for you to do these heinous acts.
No.
Trauma, it's going to fuck you up, but you got to work through that shit. But if you're this guy, where...
Well, and they started to communicate, like, really frequently. Like, you know, also he was very young-minded for his age. Mm-hmm. And you guys probably remember your first relationship where it's like a bond that is, it's obsession, basically. Yeah. So they were talking on the phone every night. They were emailing each other back and forth every day. Mm-hmm. They were... Some of them were
quite cringy.
Yeah.
He would write her poems.
Yes, poems, songs.
Yeah.
And she would sneak out. Like, she knew that she had to keep this relationship on the down low because otherwise it was going to get taken away from her.
Well, and her parents now had already been grounding her over and over just for her behavior. One time she was babysitting her brother and she was like, I don't even want to fucking babysit anymore. So she just left to go hang out at the 7-Eleven with her friends.
And I think I did that exact same thing.
I think I also did do that same thing too. Usually I would actually bring Alex with me because I'm like, fuck, he's going to tell on me unless I go buy him a Slurpee or something, you know? Very food motivated. So I always usually got away with a lot of stuff. Thanks, Al. My brother also looked like he was the same age as us and he was 7 years younger. So he could hang. He would break dance and then it would be like, oh God, he's 5. Because he's break dancing by just spinning in a circle like a turtle. But yeah, so her parents were basically like on her ass. They had grounded her. They had taken away her computer.
But they were still fun. Like before she got really bad, she was allowed to go to like free punk shows. Yeah. And like she had a lot more freedom than a lot of kids her age have.
Yeah. But on Valentine's Day, Jeremy had, I guess he had a fiance when they had first met.
Oh God.
Who even he got her pregnant. All this stuff happened. Yeah, it was like a big thing because he's 23. He's going through adult problems when you're, but this girl was like 17 or 16, which predator. But he, I guess, wanted to just start dating younger. So he had now this relationship with Jasmine where they were talking all the time, but he still had this fiance or serious fiance with all his, I don't even know how I could see her with all that eyeliner on. But so he had reached out to Jasmine now on Valentine's Day, very romantic, and said, hey, I broke up with my fiance and so it's fancy that you have a fiance. But I want to date you now. So she was like, you know, hey, well, he was like, will you be my girlfriend? And she was like, I will be your girlfriend, even though it's like...
Even though I'm 13, she lied about her age.
But like, even that.
And he was like, that's okay.
He was like, you look way older than 13.
Yeah, I thought you were 15, so it's okay.
Yeah. Illegal. Like, whoop, whoop, illegal.
Yeah, he didn't care.
He did not seem to. So now because her parents were kind of like, oh, you know, she could really play them, I think. Like, obviously... And who expects that this is where it's going to go, right?
Well, you don't expect your kids like very unexpected. 23-year-old.
No. And now because I said she had gone out with her first 16-year-old boyfriend, it was quite an issue for her parents. Yeah. She was just not going to tell anybody. So her parents, because they were worried about her and all this, but they still wanted her to be able to like go out and live her life. She was like, I want to go to this punk show and blah, 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 blah. And they were like, okay, fine, you can go, but we have to come with you, which is like the worst thing ever that a kid could probably hear.
But she was like that desperate or she said, okay, okay, you can come with me.
Yeah. So I think they kind of like gave her space. Like they, you know, they'd be like, hey, you know, like standing over in another area. And she kind of tried to deke them out a few times.
Yeah.
But her plan was to actually go because Jeremy was there. So she saw Jeremy and they snuck out a side door and they were like necking in the alley or whatever. I can't believe I just said necking because that always reminds me of you. And I'm always like, who says that? They were making out in the alley, like heavy. And her dad comes around the corner and sees this like fucking adult.
With black eyeliner.
With black eyeliner and probably a whole lot of fucking fishnets on. Making out with his 12-year-old daughter, I would fucking lose my mind.
And he also had weird, like, he wore a vial of blood around his neck.
And a neoprene mask.
A neoprene mask.
I mean, I'm sure it wasn't on while they were necking, but.
But yeah, so imagine, not only is your daughter making out with some rando in the alley, it's this fucking guy.
Literally. And so Jeremy apparently, as soon as the dad was like, hey, like probably yelled like, motherfucker, you're an adult or something. He ran away and Jasmine was in like the most trouble because it's like you are literally making out probably hot and heavy too. Like I think no one's there. It's like how ballsy of this girl to be like, I'm just gonna
She was ballsy, but parents. I can honestly say I was just as ballsy as that. So was
I. I would literally watch you leave and be like, and like fucking leave. I had multiple house parties. And one of them you didn't even know about. And it was on Mother's Day.
I know. I did find out.
You did, because all of our spoons were gone in Alex's GameCube.
Yeah.
Which, anyway. So she was completely grounded. Now they took her computer away. They like were like, no way. You're not pulling the wool over our eyes. And this is when she started to discuss with Jeremy killing her family.
Yep.
So his favorite movie is Natural Born Killers, which if you guys haven't watched it, it's a classic. But it's about basically a love story where that's exactly what they do. They kill people, but they do not kill the little brother.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like back and forth emails. And it's like he would start his emails like he would say things like R-O-F-L and like hee hee and like my cuddle bunny. He called her cuddle bunny, which it's like.
Well, and it was so.
So different from your vampire-esque.
Congruent. Yeah, it was like totally incongruent because he's saying cuddle bunny and hey sexy to a 12-year-old and all of this stuff. But then there, I mean, it's mostly her that's egging the killing of her family on. Yep. It's her that's saying, we can't be together if you don't do it for me. And. Yeah. I have an idea. Whoa. Like, even if they'd be talking about something else and she would bring up, I have an idea.
Yeah.
Like, how about you kill my family?
And I can live with you.
Yeah.
Like, bro, it's not all it's cut out to be. I'm telling you. Just kidding. Love you, Carlos. I love living with you. But no, it's like, you don't know how good you have it until you move out of your parents' house. And it's like, oh, I have to buy dish soap and I have to buy this. And then I have to deal with this guy who doesn't have a job and he dropped out in grade 10.
Well, and who knows what this more island guy would be like, so annoying to live with for sure.
Yeah. So they really started the planning, but he replied with a message saying basically like, wow, like your plan, but we need to get more into the details. So he was like on board. And if you think about it, fetal alcohol syndrome anymore or is it spectrum disorder? Fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, because it's FASD.
Yeah, because it is a spectrum.
Yes. So when you have FASD, you are younger minded than you would be. So at 23, he probably is more like her age, 12.
Well, 13. I would say from looking at their communications and stuff that she was definitely the more powerful one in
and
the
more
relationship.
Mature.
And she was more mature and she really did know how to manipulate him for sure.
Yes.
Because he was going around at this point now. He started to go around and ask all of his friends.
Which, who the fuck?
Like,
I swear every episode we talk about like dumber and dumber criminals.
Yeah. Like, hey, how far would you go for a girl? Like, would you kill their whole family? And then, well, no. Jasmine wants me to kill her family, but I don't want to do it by myself. I don't think I can do it by myself. Like, hey, brah, could you help me? Could you help me do it? And then they're like, no,
yeah, like,
I'm not helping
fuck?
You do it.
Like, no, what? Like, because this guy was like a huge pothead because just fits with the territory. Not saying you have to be a pothead if you're a goth, but like in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of cocaine, which I don't know where he got
he
the money
He did a lot of
that.
Everything, I think.
Yeah, ecstasy. He was really big into the ecstasy, which is more fitting for whatever. But yeah, he was a big drinker. Big cocaine user, big marijuana user. And yeah, she basically kind of coaxed him into, I think it's kind of like a, like it's quite the mix of all these different things.
Yeah, and
you know?
They were in that tumultuous first love affair.
That passionately.
And like, they're like professing to be fucking evil demons.
And 300-year-old werewolves.
Like his name was
Soul Eater.
Soul
like
Eater, and hers was Runaway Devil. So
yeah, and there's actually a book which I want to read called Runaway Devil, and it's about this case.
Yeah,
I've heard it's like
really
got
good.
A lot of
yeah,
details.
A lot of detail.
Obviously, we try to get as many details as we can. We don't have time to read the book because it was a little. But
well, we didn't have time to read the book, and like really, I'm not going to do 15 episodes on it. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of
yeah, but these people do not just the victims deserve to be mentioned in every episode.
Totally.
But we like to obviously give you guys the background, and I think every episode we've had, we focus on like the Canadian justice system, which oddly enough ties back into this case
oddly
again.
Enough.
So yeah, Runaway Devil and Soul Eater.
And like some of the examples of things they wrote to each other, like she was sneaking out at this point because she was so grounded, but she was still.
And her mom
like,
was always catching her.
Yeah, like she was sneaking out the basement window mostly.
And hiding pajamas to the side so that if she got caught, she would have her pajamas over her clothes. Like it's some shit that like only a 12-year-old would think of because been there.
Yeah.
But it's like.
Or like making like a perfect body silhouette in your bed.
Yeah, I've found that's me with before. A doll. Yeah. With a doll with hair.
And
that's so not even the same color as mine.
So they saw each other fairly frequently, and she was using computers at the library. Mm-hmm. So one of the examples of their one of their emails was, "You were a sore sight for sore eyes, and I miss you more than killing people." Which, okay, whatever. Can we get together and kill people together? In a message sent a week later, Soul Eater wrote that runaway devil's parents were totally unfair. Because they had grounded her. Soul Eater wrote that her parents should get with the program, or he wrote that her parents should get with the program and realize that these are ever-changing times and they can't stop themselves.
No, this is called statutory rape, actually, is what it's called. And any parent would be like, what the fuck?
Well, no. And she wrote back saying, it begins with me killing them and ends with me living with you. He wrote posts online about killing Jasmine's parents, and her parents were monitoring her online, so they caught quite a bit of this stuff, and took like they kept getting stricter and stricter, but then they kept getting crazier and crazier crazier.
And now by this time they were having sex with each other. So how do you add fuel to a fire, and how do you make an adolescent person even crazier than they already are? You have sex with them, or they have sex, and like.
Well, yeah, you're adding now, that emotion that they're not ready.
Exactly. For. It's like, after that, it's like all bets are off. And now this guy is, you know, it's like, ugh, it was just cringy and gross and illegal and everything.
And also so stupid because on Friday, March 24th, he posted a poem right on Nexopia that says, "My girlfriend's family are totally unfair. They say they really care. They don't know what is going on, and they just assume as their greed continues to consume. She is slowly going insane.
It's a poem.
She continues to think, I came into her life to help her out and stop what they keep trying to shout. It's total bullshit, and their throats I want to slit. They will regret that shit that they have done, especially when I see that they're gone. They shall pay... for their insolence, finally, there shall be silence, their blood will be payment." Like that?
Like, could you be like, it's me over here. I'm the one that murdered them. Like, yeah. Obviously they haven't been murdered at that time yet, but it's like, that's a pretty big, like, advertisement for like, hey, I'm about to fucking put some more eyeliner on and kill my girlfriend's family.
She was telling all of her friends. He was telling his drug dealer. He was like putting it on the wall.
Well, if you do some coke, you're going to talk about a lot of stuff. And so if you're doing coke with your drug dealer, you're probably like,
yeah, and this is what I plan to do.
Cocaine is not anybody's friend. Don't do cocaine because it's dangerous.
Yeah, not only are you
going to tell everybody your whole life story.
You're getting OD at this point.
Yes, really dangerous right now, especially. So Saturday, April 22nd, Jeremy bought a bunch of beer.
Like 12.
12 beers, and he drank some vodka, and he smoked some pot. That day, actually, Jasmine and her parents, because like I said, there has been this disconnection, because like it's so fucking tiring disciplining your kid all the time. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, just be good. Just hide it better.
Like, where are you, my little baby that I love and you grew up so nicely and now you're a fucking cunt all of a sudden. Fuck off.
Yeah. So it can be really like, I mean, I don't know that part yet, but I'm sorry. But it's like, yeah, where did you go? And it's, you know, you all you see, and no matter what your child looks like, you just see that little baby and, you know, you always have hope that they are going to be better.
They're going to come back. Their possession is going to cease.
Yeah, like get them a fucking exorcism. But that day, her dad, so they were actually planning as a family to go away on a trip. So they were going to go on a motorcycle trip. And
who's driving the motorcycle?
The mom and the dad had motorcycles.
Oh, God. They were cool.
Yeah, they were so cool. And so, and even now they were like, hey, we're going to, you know, get back to our roots and we're going to go get back together and we're going to, everyone's going to love each other again. And by all accounts, Jasmine was really close with her younger brother up until probably she was like, I don't want to fucking babysit anymore. I want to go see my werewolf boyfriend. But they, that day, were out on the bikes because they wanted to get the kids used to being on the bikes and they were going to go somewhere, probably just through Alberta or something. I don't know. But they were going to go out and do that. And so the same day that Jeremy's getting like fucking annihilated and wasted and super drunk, they're like having like an actual nice day together, the family, with Jasmine, with her little brother, and like the four of them. It was kind of like, oh, this is nice, you know, and she was being relatively nice. And that night she ran herself a bubble bath and her parents got into bed and
they probably got into bed with the happiest heart.
Yeah, honestly. Like, we're going to go take our kids and we're going to, you know, get back to it. And
meanwhile, around 9:30, Jeremy went to his friend's house and asked again for the 50 millionth time for his friend to help kill Jasmine's parents. And the friend said, nope, but he didn't call the cops.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeremy went to his coke dealer's house and bought a bunch of cocaine and did, they said, about 6 lines in a row.
Yeah, and then after that, he did 2 grams at once.
2 grams at
once.
Did
you fucking, wow. How did his heart not be like, and just stop?
Then he went to Jasmine's house at 3 a.m. and started throwing pine cones at her window, probably at a fast rate of speed.
For the fastest, it's probably shooting out like a cannon.
And she woke up and let him in the basement window.
She pointed to him, the basement window. She was like, the basement.
Yeah, and so he got in, but he made a lot of noise.
Yeah, because he was probably so wasted. You know, when you think you're like, I'm just going to be really sneaky, and then it's like not sneaky at all. So he, at this point, had his neoprene mask on, his fishnets.
His fishnet sleeves.
And all his eyeliner. And he climbed through the basement window and Deborah upstairs was like, that little bitch, right? Because she heard someone open the basement window. And so what is Jasmine's escape plan usually? Coming. Yeah. And especially after you've had the nicest day, it's probably like, for fuck's sakes, you know, like just quit. And so when she goes downstairs, she is surprised because it is not Jasmine. It is a grown adult man in her basement. So she starts screaming.
Yeah.
She starts screaming and screaming and Jeremy just attacks her.
Yeah. He
starts
slashes stabbing her arms and then he started stabbing her until she
stabbed her to death. And so Mark had heard all of this commotion and obviously was like, what the fuck? And Mark was like, I think he was about 5'10", like 200 pounds. So he wasn't like a small guy by any means.
And they said he was like super, super like Papa Bear.
Yeah. And especially like with his wife too.
Yeah.
So he heard, he came down and him and Jeremy started fighting each other. So Mark fought for his life and he even had a screwdriver and he tried to gouge out Jeremy's eyes, which he probably got eyeliner all over place. But he fought for his life. He fought for his family. He fought for, like, my kids are upstairs. And at this time, you know, you're not thinking like, oh, this is my daughter's boyfriend that she set up to come and kill us.
Same fuck I saw in the alley with him, his tongue down
so,
the throat.
And I don't think he got an overly good look at him in the alley. And now he had this weird face mask on and all this. And so it is said that Mark fought like vigorously. Like he fucking fought for his family and his life.
And Jasmine at one point came down the stairs and saw them fighting and just turned around and went back up.
Yeah.
And he said, Mark said to Jeremy, why? Who are you? Why? Yeah. And the last thing that Jeremy said before Mark died was, this is because you treat your daughter like shit. And this is what your daughter wanted.
Like, it's those are the last things you hear. And it's like, that's so heartbreaking. And knowing that your little boy's upstairs and like your wife is dead. Like, I'm sure he heard the struggle. That's why he came downstairs. So apparently Jasmine went upstairs and Jeremy was probably fucking tweaking the fuck out because he had done so much cocaine and other drugs. Like he's probably also like he drank vodka and alcohol. Yeah. And when you mix alcohol and cocaine together, it's microdosis.
Although when you do enough cocaine, you don't really feel drunk. So I've heard anyway.
So I've heard. No, it actually, because alcohol and cocaine are two different chemicals, but when you combine them, they actually make a whole new chemical. Oh. And that is why people can like drink more alcohol. They get like way more fucked up in like a different way than it would be if they were just drinking alcohol. So he's probably having like psychosis. And like, also there's two dead people right there that you just murdered. And so then he watches Jasmine just walk upstairs and he thinks that she's going to go like pack her bag and whatever. And apparently he was like shaking, like, and he had like cuts, and the dad actually did quite a number on him. So he's like fucked up.
Yeah.
But you know, when you see someone that's really fucked up get beat up and they like don't go down, and it's, I'm thinking one of those scenarios. So he goes upstairs to go see where she's going. And she at this point has gone into her brother's room. She lays with her brother. He's asking, I know this trigger warning, this is like super sad. Obviously everything in the whole episode is horrible, but, and every other episode we've done. But she goes in and he says like, Jasmine, what's going on? And again, he's eight and he was really into Star Wars, which made me so sad. And he was in there with his lightsaber, like clutching it in bed. And he's like, Jasmine, what's going on? What's happening? And she's like, just go to sleep. And she like laid him in like the crook part of her, of his arm, the elbow, and started squeezing, trying to kill him, like choking him. And it was said actually, that he got up, she tried to stabbed him once, and then she couldn't do it. And Jeremy came in and finished the job. That's what she says. But his throat was slashed. So later on, Jeremy actually says that she was the one solely alone who killed her brother.
Yeah. Which is so, so fucked up.
It is so fucked up, especially because it was said that they were actually quite close. She was always playing with him. Yeah. Like the difference that this 1 year had made.
They're only 4 years apart.
Yeah, and the difference the 1 year had made in the whole family's life. Like, remember how much it tore up our family? I mean, it was just me, you, and Alex, but it was like, no one liked me. I didn't like you guys. It was like, fuck, you guys are fucking trying to like get in the way of my fun. And like, Alex, you're so annoying. I don't want to bring you. Like, you know, it was very like, it's just like a small little window of so much change.
So fucking horrible for sure.
Yeah. As mom's driving to Hope, like crying.
That was
like,
my go-to. I would just get in the car and drive to Hope.
Yeah. Remember when we saw that lady crying at the gas station and you're like, she's probably going to Hope. I was like, she probably fucking is going to Hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is the best part, is after the murders, Jeremy literally ran out of the house, ran down the street, and just was like, I gotta fucking go, and just like
he left her there.
So she goes in, gets her mom's purse, calls a cab, and goes to the 7-Eleven to just probably get like some chips or like a Monster energy drink or something. Fuck.
And stops and gets money because she doesn't have any money to pay for the cab.
And then goes to Jeremy's trailer where he's showering and they're like disposing of the bloody clothes and all of this stuff. And then they go to a house party.
First they stop at the coke dealer's house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then
they have sex.
Oh, yeah.
Then they had sex. To fucking, what's the word? When you consummate. Yeah. Yes.
And then they went
all
to
about
the,
that now.
And then they went to a rager of a party.
Yeah.
And were pretty much fucking in front of the whole party on the couch.
And like making, they didn't even, apparently the people who were there, well, they did stop making out for a second to tell people that they had just murdered her whole family. And she giggled and said, my brother gargled, like, as he was dying, your 8-year-old brother, super fucked up. So they continued to make really good decisions and took his mom's truck and loaded it with a bunch of other young girls and were going to a place called Leader, because that's where probably another coke dealer lived. Somebody lived there, so they were going there. So now we're going to flash back, because this is the next day where Garrett has already gone to the house and found the bodies, and now they're like, oh my God, this girl's been kidnapped. But quickly, they went to her school, into her locker.
Yeah.
And found this fucking, again, she's 12. So this is very 12-year-old-ish.
12-esque.
Yes. She had made a comic of her, basically of her family being burned alive and murdered, and a poem saying probably how much she wanted to murder her family, basically. And so right from there, the family or the police were like, okay.
This chick is not kidnapped. She's yes. on the run.
And then they were able to access the computer. And as we know, nothing stays deleted. Even if you try to delete it, it's on there. It's on there for life.
Well, and I don't even think like they're so fucking stupid. I'm sure they probably didn't even try to delete anything.
No. And so they very quickly put two and two together. So now there is a bolo out for Jasmine as a suspect, not as a kidnapped victim, as a suspect.
And they got her picture on like the front page of the newspaper. Yeah. Like really
right away.
Quickly, yeah. Lickety split.
So in Leader, there was a police officer who had heard, he was like a rookie police officer, and he had heard that there was like this bolo and whatever. So he figured like, you know, he outsmarted them. I'm going to go and... So everyone needs to get gas and snacks, especially when you're like a young kid. You're like, let's stop for snacks. I have to pay. Yeah. Right? So he goes and he kind of like canvasses the area and he's like sitting in his car and all of a sudden he sees the pickup truck that is on the bolo and he sees some girls get out and go to the gas station. And as these girls, one of them was like the runaway girl. What's her name? Kaylee. And two other girls.
The drug dealer's girlfriend.
The drug dealer's girlfriend. Someone else. The drug dealer wasn't there, though, so I don't know. That's why I think maybe they were going to the other drug dealer's house. I don't know. So they go into the gas station, and at this time, Jeremy and Jasmine are having sex in the back of the pickup truck under a blanket. Like, all they want to do is have sex? Like, you just, I mean, I get it, but, like, not. Anyway. So the girls go in and they see on the front page of the paper that it's like
Jasmine's this, face.
Yeah. So they bring it out for her and she like they show her and she like giggles. And blah, blah, blah. They leave the gas station and they go to some like high school parking lot or something like that. And the police follows them there.
They stop to have a nap.
Oh, a nap. They probably really.
Well, they've been
after
for
all
a
the
couple
fucking
days.
They're doing and the killing and the all this stuff. Yeah, and, like, she's 12, and she's doing cocaine and murdering her family and having sex. Like, this literally still, like, doing the research for this, I was like, I have a 12-year-old. And, like, he's a baby. He's, like, a little baby. And, like, that would, like, sleep with one eye open tonight. Like, you don't know. It's, like, 12 years old. That's crazy. So the police officer followed them to this parking lot for their nap and basically goes in. And as soon as they go and kind of go towards the vehicle, the girls are all yelling like fucking pigs and like because they're like
they're
these
assholes.
Gothic yeah and they find Jasmine and Jeremy under this blanket with her with no pants on, so they put her in the police car with all these other girls, and the girls got so like rowdy in that vehicle that they like smashed out the fucking glass,
yeah.
the plexiglass in the middle, and like they were just like, back and pegs, which is like...
Yeah, you should say that the police raped you. That's
yeah,
what they're
trying
to
tell Jasmine. You should tell them that they raped you because they wouldn't let her put her pants back on because now this is another, like, you're clearly a child. He's clearly an adult. This yeah. is, like, illegal. You've done a lot of other way worse illegal shit in the last 24 hours, but still.
Yeah,
so I think that was, like, them trying to basically say, like, you had no pants on. I mean, if they were going to go down that road, which I don't think they did.
So I don't think it took very long once they had them in custody for like them to start confessing, mm-hmm. basically. Like, Jasmine was pretty much just down for, she confessed a lot of stuff right away.
Mm-hmm.
But then she started saying like that she was afraid of Jeremy and like she put it all back on him pretty quickly.
Yeah. And he was put in a like a van with. This part's so cringy, but this guy is just like one big ball of cringe, gothic cringe. He was put in a vehicle, like in a van, with an undercover police officer who was just dressed as another like inmate. And the guy's just sitting there and he goes, "Hey, you hear about that triple murder?" And the guy's like, "Yeah," because he's a cop. And he's like, "You're looking at him." It's like very, you know who I'm going to say-esque.
Yeah.
But it's like, and then he started to kind of put details like, yeah, I'm kind of scared of my old lady. The best is that he refers to her as his old lady. And it's like, bro, she's 12 and you're not a fucking biker. Like that's, you know, it's like my old lady, like yeah. she's none of
well,
these
now
things.
He's going into his biker phase. transitioning from his
probably space. With his old lady, which you don't, you have a very young child lady, yeah. And starts saying like how scared he is of her, like, oh, like she's, you know, she's messed up because she just slit her brother's throat and just walked right by and didn't even have any emotion about it. And it's like, ur. So basically they both kind of tried to keep in touch with each other. And a cop had a really good tactic where one cop was like, hey, why don't you write Jeremy a message and I'll deliver it to him.
I won't look at it. I'll just deliver it to him.
And like the stuff in there is basically like, my love, my heart bleeds for you. Whatever the fuck they're saying, it's not even really relevant.
They're gonna get married.
They're gonna, yeah. He proposes because now the cop's bringing these. Obviously, he's looking at them, but he's bringing them back and forth. So that's a pretty good tactic. But in hold on,
like she is saying that she's really sorry at this point. She wishes she could take it back. She writes this big letter to her parents.
Oh yeah,
saying how she's so sorry and she wishes they were with her right now, and that she was just joking. And then she tells the police that Jeremy just did it because he was under mind altering drugs. And now she's all alone, she writes in the letter. Like, she's just being, like, super, super self-absorbed.
Yeah. So they were both charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder. And she is the youngest person in Canada.
Yeah, in the history of Canada.
In the history of Canada to ever be charged with three or with multiple murders.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and, like, obviously, yeah, okay, Jeremy went to trial. He was found guilty, blah, 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 because he's a fucking adult. But as you guys know,
what do you think happened to her?
Our beautiful justice system. The worst part about it is she could be standing beside you or working at your child's school or doing absolutely anything because she was 12 and a half. She was not 13 yet. The longest sentence she could get at that time was 10 years.
And but they gave her credit for the time
She was in there. And they also, they only gave her, she only did 4 years in a psychiatric hospital. Yeah. And then the next 4 years was her out in the community in
she
a group
home,
basically. Yes. And the best part is when she turned 18.
Her record disappeared. It was fully expunged.
Completely expunged. And she changed her name. She probably had grown, you know, you grow up more and you look even different than you did when you're 12 because you were fucking only 12. Yeah. And so now she's out in our community.
She's been out since 2017.
Her completely. And Carla Homolka are probably fucking swinging their hands at the PAC meeting.
Yep.
Like, and she would be 31 years old or 30. How old am I? 32?
Yeah.
She's born in 94. So she would be 30 years old this year. And like, maybe she started a family. Maybe she works at a fucking daycare because there's nothing stopping her from doing any of those things.
Yeah.
So Jeremy was sentenced to life in prison, which he'll probably be out next week.
Yeah, with no possibility of parole for 25 years. But like, yeah, he's probably not even there anymore.
No, he's probably not. But he actually, I don't think he's eligible for parole until like 10 years from now, which still is way too short, like for what you did. But the fact that she fully was... Again, she was 12. So her mind, but like for me, I don't know if this is like weird or if you do that, even if you're so young, you should be kept somewhere forever. Yeah. I don't think that there's these rights and there's
the capability that you had to do that.
You like, murdered, you slit your 8-year-old brother's throat. And like, so yeah, there's just a whole lot of Canadian justice going around in this episode as well. So the loophole, if you want to murder anyone, do it before you turn 13. Just kidding. Don't ever. Don't do it. Don't murder. Don't. The PSAs I have to do are like, don't murder your husband. Don't murder your wife. Don't murder your family. Am I missing anything? Don't murder anyone.
No.
Don't go up and just stab people randomly. Don't do any of this. So yeah. So that was a really fucked up episode of a 12-year-old having to murder her whole family with her werewolf boyfriend. So hope you guys liked that one.
Yeah. It was great to be here.
Yeah. Great to be here too. Yeah. So
I guess we will see you guys more near the end of May and wish me luck in Tokyo.
Yeah.
If anyone has any recommendations, mm-hmm. about something that I definitely should not miss while I'm over there.
Yeah. Send them our way.
Yep.
And again, if you guys want to follow us on Instagram, Murder With My Mother Podcast. If you guys want to donate to Patreon, Murder With My Mother Podcast.
T-shirts.
Yeah, we got t-shirts. You guys can message me for those.
We actually had a pretty great order go in for t-shirts. Yes. A lot of people are going to be, all the t-shirts glow in the dark.
Yeah, they do.
They're all.
Shout out to Michelle.
Michelle made really nice t-shirts. So, yeah, think about it.
They're great. And yeah, if you guys have any suggestions for cases, anything you want to hear us cover, let us know.
Hit us up.
Yeah. So that was episode 54 of Murder With My Mother, the true crime podcast where I talk murder with my mother. Bye, guys. Later.